into his wonderful light. And so there's this, if you look at this, the first idea, but you are a chosen people. And Pastor Stephen talked about that last week. We are chosen. We have this opportunity to worship God because God has chosen us, his people. And this idea we have permission comes from the gospel. It comes from the very idea that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins so that we would have direct access to God. And because of that, we now have permission. You, me, the oldest person in the room, the youngest person in the room, it doesn't matter who you are, we have permission to come before and we worship our Heavenly Father. Now, I don't know about you, and maybe Stephen used this illustration last week, but when I was a kid growing up, when I was about your age, I would go up to a teacher and I would say, can I use the bathroom? Has anyone ever found themselves in this situation? I would say, can I use the restroom? And what would they say back to you? I don't know. Can you, right? And you're sitting there looking at them going, are you crazy? Like, why? I know what you're getting at, but can I go to the restroom? I don't know. Can you? And you're like, and then what do you say in response? May I go to the restroom? And they're like, yes, you may. And inside you're going, this is so dumb. You know, I just asked you, can I go to the bathroom? You know what I meant. Well, for the longest time, that would frustrate me. But recently, I started to realize that there's a reason why they would say that. There's actually a lesson in here for worship, believe it or not. There's a big difference between permission and ability. Let me say that again. There's a big difference between permission and ability. So when you ask, can I go to the restroom? They're asking you back, well, yeah, can you? To which everyone in the room will go, yeah, I can go to the restroom. But you need to ask may, because can you go to the restroom isn't the right question at that moment. You're asking for permission. And so in terms of worship, the two things that we want to go after, this idea of that we may, is that, yes, you have permission. Pastor Stephen established that last week. But I want to talk to you tonight about ability and what it means for you as M12, as the best student ministry on the planet, to fully engage and fully worship God and to finish out the rest of 1 Peter chapter 2, where it says that we may declare the praises of God. And so I'm going to talk a little bit about that ability. And so there's this difference between permission and ability. And so there are two things I want you guys to know tonight, how you can enter into this ability, how you can fully worship God when we do a couple songs at the end, how you can fully engage in him. And the first point is this. I'm going to put up on the screen. Pay attention to the king. Pay attention to the king. I think a lot of times we come into this room, even myself included, we walk into a church and we forget this idea that there's a king in the room. Do you guys understand that? Like when you guys walk into this room, there's more than just you. There's more than just adult leaders. There's more than just the sound people in the back. There's more than just the band on stage. There's a king in the room. And that king is Jesus. And so the first thing that we need to do when we step into worship is pay attention to the king and understand that there is a king in the room. How many of you love basketball? Any basketball fans in here? I grew up in Indiana, so I'm a Hoosier, huge basketball fan. How many of you guys have been watching the whole LeBron thing going on lately? Yeah. LeBron, you know, he started off, you know, in Cleveland, was there for 7 years at the Miami Heat, good 4 years there. Now he's going back to Cleveland. But he's, without a doubt, one of the best basketball players of all time, probably the best basketball player there is in the game today. And what do they call him? There you go, King James, right? Why? Because he's the best. He's awesome. Now, let me ask you this question, especially you guys back there, since it seems like you guys are into LeBron. If he were to walk into this room, what would you do? You guys would go crazy, right? All the guys in the room would be like, dude, he is so awesome. All the girls would be like, he's so tall and handsome. And so, literally what would happen, listen to me, if LeBron walked into the room, all of your focus would be on him, right? Every single one of you, you'd want to take selfies with him. You'd want to get his autograph. I mean, you'd forget that you had to go to the bathroom from that mocha you drank 10 minutes ago. You wouldn't care about anything else but LeBron James being in the room. Because the king of basketball, has entered the room. And so tonight, I think one of the things we need to think about is this idea of paying attention. Pay attention to the king. Our world today, and you guys are so saturated when it comes to like social media and phones and televisions. How many of you, when you're sitting there watching TV, you're on your phone, you've got the TV going, you maybe have your headphones on while also having a conversation with your parents. Anyone do that? Right. We do it all the time. And we think, and here's what we think. We think we are giving full attention to all those things, but the truth is we're not. You're not paying attention to anything fully, because what pay attention means is that you are sacrificing this for that. Like, for example, have you ever been in a conversation with someone and they're texting? It's annoying, isn't it? And they're just texting. What they're doing right there, they are not paying attention to you. But let's say you're having that same conversation and a text comes up and they totally ignore that text. They are paying attention to you, because you know why? They are choosing to not look at that text. It is, in some ways, costing them something to pay attention to you. It is costing them something to pay attention to you. And I want to bring this into worship, where we pay attention to the king, where we focus all of our attention on him and kind of forget about everything else going on around us. And I want to illustrate this. First Samuel chapter 8, a really cool story about the Israelites. And at this time, they had a prophet named Samuel who was kind of the go-between between God and the chosen people, the Israelites. And so God was the king, okay, and Samuel was the prophet. But in this time, Samuel had kind of given his responsibilities to his sons, but his sons weren't doing things right. And so they're going to put the verses up on the screen. Chapter 8, verse 1. When Samuel grew old, he appointed his sons as Israel's leaders. The name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second was Abijah. And they served at Beersheba, but his sons did not follow in his ways. They turned aside their dishonest gain and accepted bribes and perverted justice. So all the elders of Israel gathered together. They came to Samuel. They said to him, "You are old, and your sons do not follow your ways. Now appoint a king to lead us, such as all the other nations have." But when they said, "Give us a king to lead us," this displeased Samuel. So he prayed to the Lord, and the Lord told him this: "Listen to all that the people are saying to you. It is not you they have rejected, but they have rejected me as their king. As they have done from the day I brought them up out of Egypt until this day, forsaking me and serving other gods, so they are doing to you. Now listen to them, but warn them solemnly, and let them know what the king who will reign over them will claim as his rights." And so in this moment, I want you to see a couple things. First off, "Now appoint a king to lead us, such as all the other nations have." You see, the Israelites had this really cool deal with God, where God was their king and Samuel was the prophet who interceded before them. But they wanted to be like all the other nations. They wanted an earthly king. And going along with this idea of paying attention, they couldn't have two kings. God couldn't be their king, and there also couldn't be an earthly king. And so it's the same thing, same idea. When we step into worship in this room, you can't have two kings. You can't focus on God and focus on your friends around you in worship. You can't focus on God and be texting your mom or your dad or your grandmother or your best friend or boyfriend, girlfriend. You see, what the Israelites did in this moment, they literally gave in to peer pressure. All the other nations had a king, and that's what they wanted. And so I would love, just as you're sitting here, as you're thinking about your worship, as you're thinking about the last two songs that we sang, what were you paying attention to? Who had your full attention? Was it the king? Was it Jesus? Or was it your friends around you? Was it your phone going off in your pocket? Which one was it? Who were you paying attention to? "And it is not you they have rejected, but they have rejected me as their king." And I think a lot of times, students, we don't fully realize or understand that there's a king in the room, and he's Jesus. And we need and we have to pay attention to him. That's the first step in worship. And so we're going to do a couple songs here towards the end. And so I want you, even now, begin to pay attention to the King that is in the room. But there are a few other ways practically that I think you can do this. You can pay attention to the King. You can also pay attention to the words of the song when they're up on the screen. I don't know if you know this or not, but I guarantee you none of you will remember what I say tonight. A very few of you will. But a lot of you will remember the songs that we sing. I mean, it's one of the reasons why we did that Name That Tune, which was fun earlier, right? I mean, all of you knew the songs. But I guarantee if they started playing like Pastor Stephen's past messages and ask, okay, what was he speaking on when he said this? You guys would probably have no idea, right? That's a joke. I mean, you guys can laugh at that. Haha, thank you. It's getting a little lonely up here. But you guys probably wouldn't remember, but you would remember songs. There's something about melody, and there's something about a story within a song that helps us remember. And so I want you guys to know the songs that we pick for worship are really, really important. And we take time, and we study them, and we look at them. Because the songs that that you are singing are shaping your relationship and what you think and what you know about Jesus. So pay attention to the King, pay attention to the words, and lastly, pay attention to the worship leader. Pay attention to the worship leader. We have Katie up here and David. They're leading you in worship. And I think a great parallel goes back to here in 1 Samuel chapter 8, where they have Samuel, you have the Israelites, and you have God as their king. And I picture this a lot of ways, like in a time of worship where you have the worship leaders and you have God, and they are directing you and guiding you through the worship experience and engaging you with God. And so in those moments, you have the choice to pay attention to them and say, yes, I'm following you, I'm going with you, so that way we can go after God together. So pay attention to the King, pay attention to the words that we're singing, and pay attention to the worship leaders. Are you guys with me? All right, awesome. Let's get to the second one. So you have permission, and you're paying attention. So now what? And this is what I want you guys to know. Take a posture of obedience. So you're going to pay attention to the King, and you're going to take a posture of obedience. The Hebrew word used often for worship in the Old Testament is called shakah, which literally means to bow down. And I want to talk to you a minute about this idea of posture, because posture is really important in worship. So, for example, right now, you guys are sitting down, okay? Earlier, you were standing up when we were singing, but now you're sitting down. I was out of a sign of respect for myself and anyone else who is on stage. That's a posture. You are taking that posture. When we sing, everyone naturally stands, right? It's because we're taking a different posture. We're saying, okay, we are standing before God and we are singing to him, so we are going to stand. I did a wedding this past weekend in Baltimore for a friend, and it struck me. I mean, I've seen it a million times, but you know, myself and the groomsmen were standing there. Everyone was seated. The bride steps up, and what does everybody do? They stand, right? It's a sign of respect and honor that this is the person walking down the aisle is the most important person in the room at that moment. And so I want you guys to think about that as you stand for worship, thinking you are standing because the most important person on this universe is in the room. Jesus is in the room, and you are standing as a sign of honor and saying, yeah, you're here, I'm with you. So that posture is important. Another posture, this idea of hands up, right? Pastor Stephen, he talked about hands up last week a little bit. It's another sign of, yes, like I'm excited, I'm going, I don't know what else to do, so I'm going to raise my hands in worship. And so we take that posture. I want to talk a little bit about this idea of obedience. I told you my son, he's a year old, and what's funny about him is I can put the coolest toys around him, and I'm talking hundreds of them. And he'll be kind of playing with them, but then all of a sudden he's off, and he's sticking his finger in the one random light socket over there. Now, we have like the little plug, so our house is, you know, it's baby-proof. But I'm like, why don't you want to play with these toys? Why do you want to go run to that light socket? Literally every single time. Or if there's a cup in the middle of the coffee table, he will literally just move his toys out of the way, go pull himself up, and he'll want to pull that cup down. He does it every single time. And to be honest, sometimes it's kind of annoying. It's like, dude, we spend all this money on these toys. What I should get you is, you know, I don't know, a cup. Obviously, I'm not going to get my son a light socket. That wouldn't be good. But it's just crazy the things that he goes after when he's surrounded by such cool things. And in worship, a lot of times I think we do the same thing. We're in this room with the God of the universe, the coolest person ever, and yet we are paying attention to so many other things that are going on. And we're distracted. And I'm going to say this, it's going to sound harsh, but I wonder sometimes if God gets a little annoyed. I wonder sometimes if God just gets a little annoyed going, guys, I'm the best thing ever. Because he's God. Why don't you want to spend time with me right now? Why do you want to go off and, you know, stick your fingers in light sockets and pull cups off tables? Why do you want to do that? That's not fun. I'm here. So I wonder sometimes if God looks at us and just goes, man, I've got so much better than what you think you're going after at this moment. So a couple practical ways we can take this posture of obedience. And I love one of the first things is this, do what the song says. You know, earlier I said pay attention to the words. Do what the song says. Earlier we sang the song End of Days, and it says, I'm going to sing until my voice won't let me. And then later on the bridge it says, I will lift your name louder and louder and higher and higher. And so when that happens, I want you guys to think, I'm actually going to lift my voice louder and louder and higher and higher. I'm going to sing until my voice won't let me. When the song says, I'll stand with arms high and heart abandoned, the whole room, all the arms should go up out of a posture of obedience, because a king is in the room. And he deserves our attention. Secondly, you do what God is telling you. If you're paying attention to the king, God may be asking you to do something in worship. It could be, you know, kneeling. It could be raising your hands. It could be holding your hands out. It could be, maybe if you don't know what worship is, it could be just trying to sing along with the song. So follow those God prompts on the inside of your heart. And lastly, follow the worship leader. Because again, the worship leader is here to guide you through the worship experience. And a lot of times the worship leader will give you directions or give you thoughts to think about. And they're doing it for a reason, is because they know that there's a king in the room and they're trying to say, hey, look, this is what will engage you with that king in the room. And so follow them. So what does this look like for tonight? What does this look like for tonight? Psalm 22, verse 3, and they're going to put it up on the screen. I think it's a really cool verse, something I've just kind of been meditating on and thinking about. Yet you are enthroned as the Holy One. You are the one Israel praises. In other ways, it says, basically the idea is Jesus is enthroned on the praises of his people. Okay, Jesus is enthroned on the praises of his people. Now, I have this little rocking chair. Have you guys seen this up here and wonder what in the world? This is my son's rocking chair. Obviously, it's really little, right? Now, do you think I can fit in this little rocking chair? Is that a fat joke? Okay. Now, I could try to sit in this. I don't want to break it, because if I do, I'll be in trouble. But it's really just not that comfortable, right? Doesn't it look a little awkward? Yeah. But I want you to think about this idea that Jesus is enthroned on the praises of his people. And if that's true tonight, if that's true in our worship, if Jesus is enthroned on the praises of his people, how big of a throne are we building him? As M12. Or this question here, when we praise Jesus, are we building a throne big enough to hold his weight? So when we're singing collectively, are we building him a throne that's something puny like this? Or are we going to build him like the biggest, comfiest couch ever? And Jesus is just like, yes, this is awesome. Because I guarantee you I would take anything over this seat right here, right now. Because this is not fun. And I'm getting too old for this. So ask yourself this question. When we praise Jesus, are we building a throne big enough to hold his weight? Anyone ever crowd surfed in here? Okay, think about this idea. Hold on, follow me. Follow me real fast. I got a couple more minutes. I literally want Jesus to be able to crowd surf on our worship tonight. I want us to build a throne so big by the praise that we are lifting up that literally we could get this idea that Jesus can crowd surf anywhere he wants to. Now, if you've ever tried to crowd surf or seen like crowd surfing fails on YouTube, if everyone's not holding their weight, what happens? They fall, right? And it's miserable. It looks like it hurts. But if everyone's in sync, if everyone is going after it together, something really cool happens. This person literally just like flows over the entire crowd. That's what I want for us in terms of worship. That's what I want for you. I want Jesus, if I can use this analogy, I want Jesus to be able to crowd surf with M12. Because we are singing so loud and our hearts are going after God so much that the throne is huge. Because remember, Jesus is enthroned on the praises of his people. And so lastly, I want to leave you with this. Revelation chapter 4. A really cool picture of this idea of the throne in heaven. And verse 9 says this, whenever the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, it says the 24 elders, they fall down, they shakah, they bow down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne, and this is what they say. Would you read this with me? You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being. Because God is worthy of our worship, right, M12? He's very worthy of it because he created you, and he has chosen you to worship him. So the band's going to come up. And I want you to think about these things. I want you to pay attention to the king that's in the room. Pay attention to the words that are on the screen. Pay attention to the worship leaders that are leading you. Secondly, take a posture of obedience. Listen to what God is telling you in your heart. Listen to the words that you're singing. Do what the songs are saying. Because I think Jesus wants to crowd surf tonight, right? All right, let me pray for you. God, I thank you so much for M12. God, I thank you for the opportunity we have, Lord, to worship you, to come before you, God, too. We have this permission to stand before the throne of heaven, God, and sing to you and love you. And so, God, I pray tonight, Lord, that Psalm 22 says, Lord, that you are enthroned in the praises of your people, God, that you would be welcome in this place, and God, that M12 would just lift the roof off. So God, would you be with our worship tonight? Would you help us, God, to pay attention and Lord, to take a posture of obedience? Because God, you are a king and you are in the room and you deserve all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. It's in your name I pray. Amen. Worship well, M12.